black helicopter crowd notion.
The tyranny is always lurking just around the corner.
It's heresy. They've been crazy, but now they're right.
Black helicopter crowd really is upset.
The people are stupid and they're drunk. There'll be a revolution and they're going to lose. There are too many guns and too many people ready to fight them. I am a man of peace, but we have gangsters running this country. Criminals, gangsters.
We're normal. We see total criminal takeover, the death of freedom.
It is the most corrupt, degenerate, criminal government in American history. I'm trying to awaken people, but look at the morons around you. They're zombies.
Hello and welcome to the podcast. You're listening to Black Helicopter News and I'm your host, President Zen One. Got a lot of stuff to talk about today. For starters, I received a request on Podomatic.com. People have been requesting more episodes and I'm really happy to hear that, guys. I'm really happy to hear feedback. You want another episode? Boom. Can't just let this request go unanswered. I hope you enjoy. So let's start things off. All right. So today we're going to be looking at the strange story of Genuncio and the boiling oil alien. We're going to be talking about giant prehistoric birds seen in California. We're also going to be checking out WWE rumors that Shane McMahon is bringing in Goldberg to face The Undertaker at WrestleMania 32. We're going to also be checking out a story about Trump failing to condemn the KKK on television and turns to Twitter to clarify. And finally, we'll be checking out an article about. It's on weshapelife.org and it's titled, Guess What the Government Did to the 125 Scientists Who Are About to Save Humanity. So all that and more coming up next. Let's just jump into things. The strange story of Genuncio and the boiling oil alien. Genuncio told late UFOologist Bob Pratt. He told him something unique. One night of January 1979, he was walking home alone on Rio Grande do Norte, Brazil. Around the middle of his way, he decided to light a cigarette. That was a mistake, because apparently it had caught the attention of an overhead flying saucer that started to follow him rather closely, and he was terrified. He was mortified. Genuncio described the object as cylindrical, around 6 to 7 meters in height and 3 to 4 meters in diameter. It was extremely close to him, only a couple of meters over his head. And he described seeing two people inside, a man and a woman, seated. The woman looked like she was wearing a dress. The object emitted a light that somehow sucked Genuncio. To avoid being captured by the light, he grabbed a palm tree as best as he could. He was quoted as saying, "The light was very hot and I was scared," he said. The suction from the light was very strong, and despite firmly grasping the palm tree, Genuncio was being lifted from the ground. This happened about 5 times, up and down. His chest was scratched. He started to cry. He thought he was going to die. Then, when the man and woman saw that I was not leaving the tree, they threw something like boiling oil on me to release me from the tree. I felt I was between the fire and the frying pan. I couldn't move. The thing burned my arms and hurt me a lot, but I was afraid of leaving the tree. The thing lasted less than 2 minutes. If it had been longer, I think I would have died because it was very hot. As I didn't leave the tree, they closed the door. The lights turned off and the flying saucer quickly went away. Like lightning. Genuncio then ran home, his clothes wet in sweat. He was sick for 2 days afterwards, and traumatized and scared of walking outside at night from that point on. The incident is described by Pratt in UFO Danger Zone, Terror and Death in Brazil, Where Next? This was released in 1996. And there's an image of Genuncio grabbing the tree, and that made it to the cover. And this can be read on a website of research of researcher Reinaldo Stabolito. That's a crazy sounding name, but he had, you know, a Brazilian UFO ufologist Carlos Ayrton made an interesting comment. Regarding this boiling oil story, the palm tree Genuncio grabbed was a carnauba palm, something like that. And in the leaves of this tree, a powder is formed. The powder is used to make wax oil, so the heat generated by the UFO overhead melted this powder, and it dripped over the poor fellow grabbing the tree who thought the UFO was throwing boiling oil over him. Something quite unique. Read again the report, as Genuncio did indeed repeat several times how the light from the UFO was hot. And he didn't have much scarring, if any, from the incident, which suggests that if boiling oil was indeed what fell on him, it was only a little bit. Of course, another explanation would suggest everything in this incident was imagination of Genunzio. But the UFOologist, who's smarter than you and me, folks, he believes in the reality of this report, even when he describes that he later discovers one more report of aliens throwing boiling oil. And guess who this was by? The son of Genunzio, who described pretty much the exact same events, including the detail of the cigarette attracting boiling oil throwing UFO. Now, this is only anecdotal evidence, but it could be, you know, it could be impossible to ascertain exactly what happened, if anything. They could both be, you know, this could be a farce. But if something did happen, the suggestion by Carlos Ayrton that the boiling oil detail could have been only natural carnauba palm tree oil melted by heat is very interesting, but it's not as magical as aliens throwing boiling oil. I don't know about you folks, but there's thousands upon thousands of UFO accounts, and you know, some of these gotta be true, and I'm trying to weed through these and bring the most credible ones to you. And I think that, personally, my opinion would be most likely that the alien UFOs do have a technology that involves light, and light that can, almost they can control the light. They can control light, and they can make light pull you up. It's really crazy technology that we haven't stumbled upon society yet. We are getting there. But basically, they can control light. And there's a good chance they did throw boiling oil on them. You know, that's a UFO that traveled intergalactic distances. If they don't have a kitchen, they're going to need some french fries on their trip. Gotta get rid of the oil anyway. Throw some on someone. But in all reality, though, in seriousness, the light could have melted the wax from the carnauba. And if I'm not mistaken, this is the carnauba wax. So they're able to control light and make light hot. So the fact that the aliens did the same thing to this guy's son, it's just too coincidental, you know? Okay, moving on. So, giant prehistoric birds seen in California. This is crazy. There's been yet another sighting of huge-winged, pterodactyl-looking creatures flying through the air. And it's been making news. This is just the latest report of what's proven to be one of the most frequently documented cases of pterodactyls in the world. Earlier this October, this guy from Southern California came forward claiming that he sees these giant birds on an almost monthly basis alongside strange lights and objects in the sky. This is very interesting. He's quoted as saying, "The prehistoric bird looks like nothing I've ever seen." The man says, who does not want to be identified and will protect his identity because Black Helicopter News, we're a member of the press, but he is also quoted as saying it looked like a scaly reptile-like bird. This creature reportedly flew at a great speed overhead and bears a close resemblance to the illustrations of petrosaurs and pterodactyls, who are much closer in their evolutionary line to reptiles than our current birds. So this guy in his stories, it matches up with our science textbooks. Sightings of giant dinosaur-like birds have been recorded for decades throughout California, Arizona, and New Mexico, to name just a few states within the U.S. They're often said to have wingspans of up to 15 feet, toothed beaks, and a smooth, featherless body. Although one man claimed to have seen an incredibly huge 30-foot monster in the Namibian desert, many regard these cryptids to be prehistoric animals that have somehow escaped the effects of time, which reduced their ancestors to the much smaller feather birds of today. Go back to the early 1900s, when photography barely existed and the hunters reported actually killing these petrosaurs, these pterodactyls. They've appeared all over the U.S. and the coast of Africa, over deserts, plains, most interestingly, around fossil sites containing the bones of their supposed brethren. Now that sightings are easier to record than ever with smartphones and cameras, it doesn't seem as though it'll be too much longer until we have undeniable proof of a living, breathing, giant fossil existing in our world. You know, I don't know about you folks, but I totally believe this because I've seen pictures from when they first started taking pictures. You had to stand there a long time while they took these pictures. You couldn't get a random ragtag group of 7-8 people like I'm looking at now a picture from back then from Western times. And yeah, this is when the beginnings of the early 1900s. These people wouldn't be staging a farce in the 1900s. These people are more intelligent than us today. They didn't have the GMOs and the fluoride. So I trust our ancestors. I really believe that these giant prehistoric birds in California, see what's going on with global warming is that, as we all know, that the entrances to Hollow Earth at the North and South Poles, these are very cold regions, but because of the entrance to the center of the Earth begins at one specific point where the compass can't maintain a steady signal on. So at the extreme North Pole and extreme South Pole is where these holes come from. And surrounding these areas, because there is an inner sun within the Earth, that the areas right outside the entrance, the hole, the hole to the caves of Hollow Earth, these things just... The inner sun, which is enough warmth that it makes the region outside of these entrances to the caves tropical in a way. No, not tropical, but Alaskan in nature. So you have an area of just lush grasslands, fertile land. And with global warming, maybe these things feel that they get lost and have to migrate, and they end up migrating to California. I think this is feasible. I don't know about you folks. So, moving on. So there's rumors that Shane McMahon might be bringing in Goldberg to face The Undertaker at WrestleMania 32. Yeah, on Monday Night Raw, there was the amazing return, as we all know, of Shane McMahon at WWE. This is actually a couple weeks ago. And he was put into a huge match by his father to face off at against The Undertaker at WrestleMania 32. And, inside of a hell of a cell. If you didn't hear. So some wonder how this match is going to work, because it's insane. They're not going to... The Undertaker would house Shane McMahon in like 1.2 seconds. So as much as Vince McMahon hates his son, Shane, there's no way they're going to waste the time to go through the trouble of a Hell in a Cell against The Undertaker for Shane McMahon to be defeated in like 1.2 seconds. So, now there's rumors that Shane McMahon could hire a mercenary, and the name Bill Goldberg has been thrown around. It's kind of hard to believe that Shane McMahon returned to WWE at all on Monday. But to have him placed in such a huge matchup, this is unheard of. Facing off with The Undertaker at WrestleMania 32 is like a suicide mission. And just so you know, The Undertaker's in great shape, and he showed that last year by wrestling at several pay-per-views in pretty huge matches. There's no doubt that he's going to be prepared and totally capable to go hard at WrestleMania 32, and even months after, and even years after that. The Undertaker's a beast for somebody that's in his, like, 60s. He would house, like, a lot of people, bro. On the other hand, the big question is, 46-year-old Shane, he hasn't wrestled in 6 years. Is he even able to go in the ring? McMahon's been away from the wrestling world and WD for just as about as long, and now he's being thrown immediately to the biggest and baddest wolf out there? There's got to be a loophole, and if anyone knows it, it's Shane McMahon. No one thought Shane was going to come back. But he did. That is some fun, unexpected news from WWE. For those who may have missed it, though, Vince McMahon mentioned a lockbox that Shane is in possession of, and the contents are being held over Vince's head. Vince is being blackmailed by his own son. So there was a loophole to write Shane McMahon back into WWE storylines. And it should eventually be revealed. And maybe there's a loophole somehow that Shane can participate, but also hire a mercenary to wrestle for him. This kind of weird, loophole is not outside the WWE writers. This could happen. Some just don't believe that Shane McMahon will even be able to give the types of amazing matches he used to give. But with that, the list of possible mercenaries who could be hired by Shane O'Mac to take on a dead man, Bill Goldberg is absolutely one of the first choices. And he's been the topic of rumors for months now. Nothing's been official yet. Batista's another option. Batista could come through to face him as a mercenary. He could make a comeback. But Batista is filming Guardians of the Galaxy 2, so he may be too busy to do this. But The Rock is definitely going to be there, without a doubt. That's confirmed. And his full role isn't known. But who knows? Maybe the Rock can be. Maybe The Rock will be his hitman. But one thing's for certain, Shane McMahon is officially back in the WWE. And he's going to have a match in a hell of a cell against The Undertaker at WrestleMania 32. Who knows? It could even be Kurt Angle. But we'll see. I don't see them wasting their time having Shane McMahon versus The Undertaker just for him to beat him in 1.2 seconds. But I would expect someone to come from out the bottom of the ring. You know, maybe they'll break the ring and Kurt Angle pop out with an axe and just beat the shit out of Undertaker with the butt of the axe. All right, folks. We got to talk about some other things. Donald Trump. You know, this is making it even NPR.org. Trump fails to condemn KKK on television. Turns to Twitter to clarify. Here's the deal, folks. David Duke is a former LA House of Representatives member. He is demonized because he assaults the Jewish Zionist movement. And because he was a member of the KKK at the age of 17, maybe 15, who knows. But that's neither here nor there. He was a member of it, okay? And I bet you didn't know that there was a member of, what was it, the House of Representatives or the Senate that was in the, look, these people are in the KKK. You can't get out of it. If they're in politics, they're probably in the KKK. They got outed, so they didn't want to come clean. David Duke got outed. Now all of a sudden his endorsement doesn't mean anything. David Duke is not a supremacist. He just believes in equality for all races to preserve their heritage. That's no big deal. That's something we all do anyway. Okay? And he also attacks the Jews. But he's doing it with proof, so I don't know what to say. He's just a hated man. They call him an evil man. So here's the deal. He started to promote Trump because that's who he felt was a very good candidate, right? So somebody was asking him if he would distance himself from that endorsement. And, you know, just because he was a former Grand Wizard, okay? But so was members of government that have been praised by Hillary Clinton. So this is all a joke in the end. He just so happened to be discredited. The other guy just so happened to be praised. But Duke told his radio audience, because he has a show, that voting against Trump would be a treason to the heritage of Europeans. Trump didn't condemn this. And he didn't say he didn't want the support of him. But the thing is, here's the deal. Trump is quoted as saying, "I don't know what you're talking about. You wouldn't want me to condemn a group I know nothing about. If you would send me a list of groups, I'll do research on them, and certainly I would disavow them if I thought there was something wrong." Okay, the Ku Klux Klan. And Trump is what the guy says. And Trump goes, "You have groups in there that are totally fine and would be unfair, so give me a list of the groups and I'll let you know." And you know, they're continually in the media trying to trap him, and they're saying, "I'm just talking about David Duke and the KKK." And Trump says, "Honestly, I don't know David Duke." And, you know, if they did know him, they would say so. Look, the video's online, you can watch it anywhere, but not long after, Trump tweeted out a video about him being asked about Duke's support, and this was when he received the support of Christie the other day, New Jersey, our governor, in my state. So he did clarify that he disavowed. So he did disavow when he met with Christie. You know what? I gotta tell you, honestly, I'm not even gonna read any more of this article. The story's out there. Listen, here's the bottom line. David Duke is not as bad as they say. He is bad, but he's not as bad as they say. Okay? He is pointing out things, but he's all about equality. And all he does is point out how the Zionists are attacking us. And he wants heritage for all races. So he basically wants us all to be racist. But that would create equality. And it makes sense. Next up on WeShapeLife.org. Guess what the government did to 125 scientists who are about to save humanity? There's many suspicious events happening in the world today. One, One of those is the death of 125 scientists. And within 24 hours, three investigative journalists were also killed. One word to describe this is crazy. Why would people kill scientists and journalists? Did the government know anything about this all along? Is there foul play? These extreme killings already started years ago, and it still exists. And this is alarming. I bet you already have ideas about this. Check the records of events regarding these extreme massive killings. They're targeted against scientists, bankers, and journalists. Suspicious. Something strange is afoot. A Denver banker supposedly shot himself 8 times in the head and torso with a nail gun. An infectious disease scientist was stabbed 196 times. Three investigative journalists who work in explosive areas die within 24 hours. The list goes on. Last month, 47-year-old NASA scientist Alberto Behar died when his plane crashed near an airport north of L.A. Behar helped prove there was once water on Mars and was a leading robotics expert. So this would explain why the government would target him. 74 in just the last 2 years. 125 in the last 20. You know, in 20 years, all of these scientists that are trying to save humanity are being picked off. Some people suggest they may not be dead after all and may have just been kidnapped by the government to work on black projects. This is also highly credible and possibly the explanation for it. We'll have to exhume the graves to know for sure, though. So we just got a petition to families of 125 people. So, I mean, I would definitely allow that if I were you. But yeah, you know, people trying to prove there's water on Mars are dying, you know. They don't want people to know that there's an ancient civilization on Mars. It's just pitiful, man. You know, the people that are showing that GMOs are giving the rats tumors in the third generation. Those guys are dying. AIDS scientists with cures are dying. Ebola experts with Ebola cures are dying. Nuclear engineers that are finding ways to have nuclear energy without negative side effects. These people are getting killed. God, professors of astronomy, astrophysics that are realizing through calculations that the government is covering up so much. And if doing it mathematically, they're dying too. People with cervical cancer vaccines, they've died. Engineering with expertise, gallium nitride, dying. Weapons expert, dying. He was going to come up with chemical warfare. Firefighters strangled. How are firefighters strangled? That we're doing. Firefighters find a charred body of murdered pediatrician who was hogtied, strangled, and set on fire in her basement. This is crazy. Shot outside her home. Single bullet. Molecular genetic technology. Yeah, people are trying to come up with the Ant-Man suit and they're being killed. We need to know how to shrink things and enlarge in them. And, you know, they don't want us to have that tech. Home invasion. This guy, my God, this guy had biochemistry. This is insane. Heart attack by someone that's 55. You know, he was coming up with nucleosomes. You know, focusing on how DNA is packaged in a chromosome. This is crazy. These people are drowned. Who's coming up with links with pesticides and Parkinson's? Parent suicide, jumped from bridge. And this guy was working on nuclear facilities, making them safer. Unknown illness. This guy was looking for a way to monitor wind. Come on now. Car crash. Apparent car crash, I could say. He was investigating Carnegie on other species that may have existed. Dr. Muhammad assassinated with a remote control bomb inside his motorcycle. He was interested in nuclear physics. He was very prominent. He told his students to speak out against unjust elections and he got assassinated. These people are dying. They're killing them. Suicide. Found dead. Shot and killed outside his home in Connecticut. Come on. This guy was working with the Jewish Medical Center. Come on now. He was helping the Jewish people. This one lady died at the hand of a neurobiologist, of all people. She was trying to study chemical engineering and biotech. They had her killed. Another guy died at the hand of another they both died at the hand of a neurobiologist named Amy Bishop, and I better not get assassinated for that. Amy Bishop has killed 2 people already that were working So the first one was working at something else with Monsanto. This other person, he was working on tree biomass and growth in trees, fast-growing trees. Oh, and this would have been an alternative to corn sources for ethanol. No wonder. This other guy, unbelievable, another person died at the hands of that same neurobiologist. He was trying to work with gastrointestinal physiology. Oh my God. And you will never believe this. That same neurobiologist that killed those other three, murdered, she was accused. Like, this isn't fancy talk. She murdered three fellow scientists because she, those three people I mentioned, because she was denied tenure. This is insane. These people keep dying. Plague. He was working for a vaccine for the plague, so he's killed. Respiratory failure, this other guy. He's a germ warfare scientist. 81. Working against anthrax. Look, suspicious causes, yet someone else. He was working on quantum medicine. Look, the list goes on and on. Look it up. Google it. 125 scientists killed in the last 20 years. Why? Why? These people are trying... Not... They were scientists, and... Bottom line is, they're killing anyone that's trying to save humanity.